of the Easter season. After God raised Jesus from the dead, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, and then he was taken up to heaven. So they returned to Jerusalem, and they prayed, and they waited, and they gathered to celebrate Pentecost, the holiday that commemorates the anniversary of the day God gave the Torah to the whole nation of Israel. So the apostles are assembled to celebrate that holiday when the Holy Spirit came to enliven those words for them. Julian? We're trying to do this. And the clicker's off, too.
Hello? Is it on now? Okay. So here we go. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be an individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak.
So Pentecost became a kind of double gift of words from God. And I believe that God has a word for us today. Like Israel, we come expecting a message for our community in 2019. And like the apostles in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension, anticipating the Holy Spirit who came like tongues of fire, we also wait for it. We prepare. We stay awake, hopefully at least until the end of the teaching. But today we celebrate the gift of language, which I think is a fitting holiday in a university town, and also a day to be glad for technology that enables friends of ours like Glore to be able to communicate with us and reminds us that real communication always requires attention. And today I believe the Lord has one scripture for us, one sentence that I think most of us have gone over and missed a lot of times, but just seemed bolded to me when I read it.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
As Christians, sometimes we have a lot to unlearn about the Bible. Most of us have been raised with a kind of invisible anti-Judaism that pervades these texts and subtly informs our thinking and theology. What is your picture of Pentecost? Who do you see gathered? When Peter stands up to preach, do you imagine an audience of hostile heathens or godless crowds? Or is Peter preaching to the choir, God's people? The Jews, his own people, who are following Yahweh, Adonai, Hashem, living a life devoted to holiness and God's commandments. The choir, like us, for whom God has a message. The sheep, whom Jesus left to Peter's care. God is the shepherd of Israel, and these are Yahweh's sheep. And there are many passages in the Bible that describe Israel as the sheep and God as the shepherd. We call to mind Psalm 23 in the Hebrew Bible, embraced as a Christian favorite, where we likely understand Jesus as our shepherd. And yet David knew that love of God as his personal shepherd long before the birth of his descendant Jesus. If Julian would read.
Adonai is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water. He restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. Even if I pass through death-dark ravines, I will fear no disaster. For you are with me. Your rod and staff reassure me.
So in Jerusalem, there are faithful followers of Yahweh from every nation known to exist. They didn't know about First Nations, but God did. And how God was faithful to them is another story that I am not qualified to tell. But it is, I think, worth noting the limitations of our own experience and revelation, both in the text and in our own lives. The Bible records many stories of God's faithfulness, but not all of them. They are a blessed sample, holy tales that teach us about the nature of God, but not the complete story, whose scrolls would fill the earth, John says. So at this specific point in history, in this place, there are Jews and converts to Judaism all seeking God, faithful people who knew that God is their shepherd. And you might think, well, why are we talking about sheep and shepherds on Pentecost? Because of Peter, of course. Because while waiting for his instruction from the Holy Spirit, Peter must have been mulling over his last conversation with Jesus, that one-on-one discussion they had on the beach. When Jesus appeared to his disciples the morning after a long night of fruitless fishing on the Sea of Galilee and made them breakfast, and then he walked Peter through the repair of their relationship to heal the damage of when Peter denied him three times after his arrest. Jesus used those questions to affirm with Peter what he and Peter both knew. Peter loved him and then entrusted him with his new work. Three times Jesus asked, and Peter answered, and Jesus commissioned.
Jesus asked the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep."
So it occurred to me this week that Peter wasn't really an evangelist. His job was not to convert people who didn't know God to become God worshipers. Now, I don't usually think about the word evangelist, but our missionaries from Spain were here, and they usually speak Spanish, and so we're using kind of a different language together. And in talking to them, they said that in some ways, prayer warriors are really frustrated evangelists. And I thought to myself, I'm not really an evangelist. That's not really my thing. I'm not an evangelist. But I was thinking Peter was, right? Exhibit A, his sermon on Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preached to a big crowd and a bunch of people got saved. Exhibit B, later in the story in Acts, he went to the Roman centurion Cornelius' house to preach the gospel, and they were also converted. But I've changed my mind. I think I was wrong. Peter wasn't an evangelist. These weren't just ordinary sinners that Peter was trying to convince. These groups of people were already God's sheep. They were seeking God already. Peter's job was to feed them, to give them more information, the next revelation. God had more for them, and Jesus entrusted Peter with the job of supplying them with more of the bread of life. They didn't need conversion so much as they needed to be fed the story and the words of Jesus so they could respond to God's new work in the world. So why did I, or why do we, tend to think about Peter's two major sermons as being about evangelism, when Jesus' latest instructions to Peter were about feeding sheep, not about becoming a fisher of men? That was quite a bit earlier. In the first scenario, and we just talked about, of the Jews gathered to celebrate Pentecost, I think we as Christians don't recognize them as sheep because of our years of anti-Jewish theology. We don't observe the journey of this faith, that same journey that the disciples themselves were on, as being God worshipers, and then Jesus followers, and then filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a similar progression we see later in Acts with the God-following Gentiles assembled at Cornelius' house, who then accepted Jesus as Messiah and then received the gift of the Holy Spirit. In that case, Peter had difficulty recognizing them as being God's sheep because they were the Gentile occupying military. It hadn't occurred to him that they were all one flock in God's eyes. That actually God has sheep from every nation living right here amongst us, but because of our hang-ups, we sometimes have a hard time recognizing them. So let's go back and read it again. Who was Peter about to preach to on Pentecost?
There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
Jesus' sheep, whom he had told Peter to tend, with the Holy Spirit's help, of course, devout Jews from every nation under heaven. Why didn't they know about Jesus? Why weren't they assembled along with the other 120 disciples? They were celebrating Pentecost too, in their own upper rooms, each with their own languages, thanking Yahweh for the gift of the Torah, celebrating in the holy city of Jerusalem. But the problem is that there was a language barrier, a cultural divide. Jesus' disciples were from Galilee, a particular region, mostly fishermen, with their own rough-speaking accent of Aramaic. Jesus was not an everyman. He was an individual human being with a circumscribed ministry at a particular point in history. God revealed God's overwhelming creator of the universe of love of all humanity through a single person in a small culture of a particular chosen people at a special time in history. Going from big and unimaginably wide to a pinpointed individual specific to then again be spread wide beyond our imagination. God's love is both encompassing and personal, crossing all barriers. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost to Galilean Jews enabled them to speak God's good news to Jews from other countries, which then signaled the expansion of the gospel across the differences that divide us. And so let's go back to that story.
There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering on Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages."
The mighty works of God that resonate with the listeners, the deeds of the Yahweh whom they serve, proclaimed in their own language by Galilean Jews. This is God's way of telling them to listen up, because they're talking about something that resonates with them. The cross-cultural communication starts with what they know, worship of God, and beckons them to pay closer attention to what God might have to say through these uneducated fishermen in the cosmopolitan city dwellers. So how does this relate to us? This is the question, of course, that the devout Jews in Jerusalem asked when they heard Galileans praising and preaching about God in their own language.
They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?"
What does it mean? In 2019, in Champaign, Urbana, Decatur, that there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. Why is this the one sentence for today? I feel like God is saying to us today, look around. Outside of this upper room, open your eyes. My people are all around you, my sheep. But we don't always recognize them. We're separated by language and culture, by our ideas of who's in and who's out. And God wants to change that. God wants to send the Holy Spirit and teach us new languages, new ways of listening and speaking that cross all of those barriers. I believe that the message of the Spirit today, this Pentecost, is about overcoming cultural barriers that separate us from other people of faith right here in this town, particularly from other Christians, especially believers of color in our LGBTQ family, but also from our Jewish brothers and sisters, also from folks at the mosque who are serving God in the ways that they know how. We're divided, not because we serve a different God, and not because we're not all sheep of the same shepherd. we're divided by our sense of language and custom in the way that we do things, which I think brings us back to the welcome that Barbara led us in at the start of the service, that message of unity and belonging and togetherness. The gift of the Spirit is to transcend these differences, that we might recognize in each other's stories the mighty acts of the same God. And that God has a new revelation for us through each other, through people who are specifically different than us, who understand a different part of the revelation that we are missing. Often we think we're like Peter. We have the message and the answers. But I believe that God is prompting us to embrace the possibility, in fact, the certainty, that we need our brothers and sisters to complete us, to teach us, to give us the next part of the revelation. And so as I was thinking about this, I was wondering, what if we went about our business in this town every day thinking that verse to ourselves, that there are faithful believers from every language and culture living right here around me? Do we see them? This is our challenge this Pentecost season, to ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the language to cross barriers, to both hear and proclaim God's mighty works to each other. Not exactly an evangelism challenge, but more of a feed my sheep challenge, a recognize the other sheep who are also listening to the voice of the shepherd challenge. I think that learning new ways of listening and speaking are our calling, particularly as we prepare to host Restoration Urban Ministries Church in 2 weeks. I think it's also the challenge of See You at Home in the men's shelter, where they serve our friends without addresses as members of the same body. Recognizing that each of these individuals and these different churches and ministries with different languages and cultures have gifts to benefit us as the other sheep of God's pasture, them for us and us for them, until there is no longer a them and an us. Julian.
There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit.
So today, as on every Sunday here at New Covenant, we are all invited to communion. One body, serving each other, recognizing that we are just one part of this body in this town, seeking the gifts and teaching from other parts of the body. And may we be further unified in the Spirit beyond these walls, as God gives us the language of the Spirit to learn from each other.